So the sermon today is about science and neurology and how we understand religion through that. I was involved in reading the Times of London a few years ago when I came across an article about a man in San Diego, a neurologist. He described how someone had walked into his office, someone who suffered from temporal lobe epilepsy. And this man came into his office and he was carrying with him a large book and he had a large cross on a chain around his hanging down in front of him. And the book was a 500-page book that this man had written on the nature of God. The neurologist, whose religion is Hindu, his name is Dr. Ramachandra, reported that about 25% of his patients with temporal lobe epilepsy are obsessed with religion. After an attack, patients may speak of having a religious experience or say that they now know why the cosmos exists. Other symptoms of some temporal lobe epileptics can be the act of writing a long, complicated book of personal religious significance and frequent conversions to several different religions in sequence. Well, Dr. Ramachandra was very interested in this phenomenon and he decided to try to study it. So he compared three groups of people. He looked at a group of epileptic patients who described these religious experiences. He then also got a random sample of people who do not have epilepsy and who are not especially interested in religion. And then third, he looked at a group of people who do not have epilepsy who say they were intensely religious, three groups. He placed electronic monitors on the skin of the people in these three groups. This is a standard test for activity in the brain's temporal lobes. They showed that the epileptics and the deeply religious people displayed a similar response when shown words invoking spiritual belief. By studying these people who had profound spiritual experiences, Dr. Ramachandra located a circuit of nerves in the front of the brain that appears to be electrically active when persons think about God. He suggested that the phenomenon of religious belief might be hardwired into our brains. Dr. Ramachandra believes that the epileptic patient's seizures cause damage to the pathway that connects two areas of the brain. The one that recognizes sensory information, the pathway to the brain that recognizes what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we touch, and so on. And the one that gives such information emotional context that allows us to evaluate these experiences and control our emotions in response to them. That pathway is interrupted. The San Diego neurologist says that everything for the people who have this interruption, everything becomes very significant. These patients see depth in every little thing. Some people suffering from seizures may believe that they have had a first-hand experience with the existence of God. By studying these epileptics who have profound spiritual experiences, Dr. Ramachandra located a circuit of nerves in the front of the brain that appears to be electrically active when they think about God. And he says there may be dedicated neural machinery in the temporal lobes concerned with religion. This may have evolved. Now he's speculating. This may have evolved to impose order and stability on our society. This neuroscientist suggests that belief in God, which is a common trait found in human societies around the world and throughout history, may be built into our brain's complex electrical circuitry to encourage cooperation between individuals. So he believes we evolved to have this belief in God in order to create stability in society and encourage cooperation between people. Well, I found this study of temporal lobe epilepsy fascinating. And then 2 years after I read that, I read another study which led to me ordering this hat. I actually first read about this in Wired magazine. It's a study in Canada. A Sudbury, Ontario neuropsychologist has been studying the effects of low-level electromagnetic fields on the human brain. Now, those of you from Canada can fill me in on this. As I understand it, Sudbury is a nickel and copper mining town of about 150,000 people. Laurentian University consists of a dozen buildings in the suburbs of the town. Dr. Michael Persinger, who was selected in 2007 as one of the best teachers in Canada, Dr. Michael Persinger and his graduate students do their research in a windowless basement of the university's science building. There, in a small room built in the early 1970s, is a reclining chair. Well, Dr. Persinger, we can blame on Jacksonville, Florida, where he was born. But he moved from the United States to Canada in July of 1969 because he had, in his words, a rather major ethical disagreement with the United States government. In other words, he didn't wish to be drafted to fight the Vietnam War. To conduct his research, he uses a yellow motorcycle helmet. Now, that's a little more sophisticated than my baseball cap, fitted with electromagnetic field-emitting switches on the sides, aimed directly at the subject's temples. Sitting in this silent, black, dark room, oh, he's calling, I think, Dr. Persinger. Dr. Persinger bathes the subject's temporal lobes with precise electromagnetic wavelength patterns. This is the same temporal lobes that cause epilepsy, but he doesn't give them so much to cause epilepsy. Using fixed wavelength patterns of electromagnetic fields, he claims he can inspire a feeling of a sensed presence in the room. People have a feeling of a presence in the room with them, like there's nobody there but themselves. Dr. Persinger suggests that these supernatural visions of God or of angels are caused by natural electromagnetic fields stimulated in our brains. One of the doctor's students turned this into a business. And today on the internet, you can order this magnetic stimulation device that claims to stimulate intense spiritual experiences. I've always wanted to see God. And a few years ago, I had not when I was in Sarasota, so you don't have to worry. I had a little money left in my professional expenses, and I ordered this. And I've tried to use it to see God, and I'm sorry to report, I have not yet had a vision of God. Dr. Persinger has exposed the brains of more than 2,000 people to low-level electromagnetic fields with precise wavelengths. Using the helmet, people report seeing Elijah, Jesus, the Virgin Mary, Muhammad, and God. Some people have had the sense that there's a presence in the room with them. The person feels at one with the universe, feels a kind of eternal peace, feels that somehow the experience has changed their self forever. Well, I kept reading. And 2 years after this experience, I read a magazine article, a Newsweek. Remember Newsweek? I believe they're out of business now, but they had a cover story titled God and the Brain. The article was about research in Pennsylvania. A Philadelphia researcher, Dr. Andrew Newberg, whose religion is Jewish. Now, the first person, Dr. Ramachandran, is Hindu, and then Persinger, I don't know, I imagine he is Protestant, I don't know his religion. And then Dr. Andrew Newberg, who is Jewish, he also had studied the minds of religious people, studying the minds of praying Franciscan nuns and meditating Tibetan monks. And he published a book on this subject called Why God Won't Go Away. Dr. Newberg's specialty is radiology. To conduct his experiment, he started by taking a baseline scan of a subject's brain state at rest. So first, just the brain at rest, taking a scan. Then he hooked the subject up to a long IV line. He tied a string to the finger. Now, these people all agreed to this. They consented. They tied a string to each of these people, and the Franciscan nuns would then go into a deep prayer. The Tibetan monks would go into deep meditation. And when they reached the deepest level of their meditation or prayer, they would just pull that string. And at that signal, the doctor would inject a very small amount of radioactive dye into the IV line, waiting for the prayer or meditation to finish. They didn't do the scan during the prayer or meditation. But immediately after it was over, they would do another brain scan, which would detect the radioactive emissions. The injection of radioactive tracer locks almost immediately into the brain cells and stays there for a few hours. Thus, the brain scan gave the doctor an image of blood flow patterns as the blood was flowing, as they occurred just moments after the injection, when these people were in the deepest state of prayer or meditation. So what did the scan show? Well, increased activity in the frontal temporal lobes. However, Dr. Newberger also found decreased activity in another part of the brain. The decreased blood flow was in the area of the brain that we use to give us an orientation of where we are in space and time. The part of our brain that allows us to know that something's in front of us and something's behind us and something's on the sides and something's above and below, the blood flow decreased to those sections so that it created a feeling in the part of the nuns and in the Tibetan meditators of being one with everything. The old joke about how does a Buddhist order a hot dog make me one with everything? Dr. Newberger believes that our brain interprets its failure to find the borderline between the self and the outside world to mean that such a distinction simply doesn't exist. The brain perceives that the self is endlessly interwoven with everything. This perception feels utterly and unquestionably real for those in deep prayer or deep meditation. They feel they have touched infinity. He concludes that unless there is a fundamental change in the brain, religion and spirituality will be here for a very long time. The brain is predisposed to have these experiences, and that is why so many people believe in God. So, a San Diego neuroscientist is studying why religious experiences seem to accompany epileptic seizures in some patients. Not all, but some. In Sudbury, Ontario, a professor of neuroscience creates a religious experience using electromagnetic waves. And in Philadelphia, a researcher discovers how the brain functions during deep meditation and prayer. For atheists, this research supports the belief that God is a creation of the human brain, and thus the cartoon on the cover of the Order of Service. showing a picture of God looking at a sign that says, "You are here," pointing towards the brain. And God saying, "Is this some idea of a joke?" But for theists, the research supports the belief that God designed the human brain so that it is possible, under the right conditions, to feel God's presence. An interesting idea that God designed the brain so that we could perceive the existence of God. Well, I've never had a vision or seen an angel. I am a rational, logical, Unitarian Universalist. And I find it interesting that people who have felt the presence of God or seen an angel or had a vision may have simply experienced a special stimulation of their brain caused by an epileptic seizure or by electromagnetic waves or by the slowing of blood flow to a part of the brain. I will continue to read about such research with great interest. I suspect we are just at the very beginning of understanding how our brain works and how it works in relationship to religion. Well, still, this research, it does not cause me to embrace atheism. I continue to trust that the universe has an intentionality, a purpose, a meaning. Most of us can see. Understanding how our vision works, understanding how our brain sees things, does not then mean that what we see with our eyes is an illusion. In the same way, if we understand better how our brains experience the presence of God, this does not necessarily prove that that experience is an illusion. I look at the vast visible universe, the billions of stars. I look at how much we have learned as human beings in just the last century about the nature of the universe and the nature of the human brain. And I know how much is still a mystery. I hold on to the belief that there is a purpose to all of this. I believe we experience this purpose through a special relationship that we have with each other. We experience it with the beauty of the earth. We experience it with the beauty of works of art, great music, great drama, great paintings. I believe we experience this purpose when we exchange a smile with each other at church on Sunday morning. We feel like there is meaning to life. We feel it, at least I feel it, when I hear the sounds of beautiful music. I feel a sense of connection and purpose and meaning when I hear the lines of a beautiful poem. It's a sense of relationship I feel when I laugh with all of you. Now, someday, with a portable brain scanner, it might be possible to study what happens inside my brain when I have these experiences, when I see a friend or look at a beautiful painting or listen to music or smell a flower. However, I will be interested in the results of such scans, but I do not think that knowing more about the way my brain works will necessarily prove to me that the experiences I have are false or an illusion. I will still have a belief that the universe has an intentionality, a purpose, a meaning. Those times when I feel a part of this intentionality, part of this purpose, I find that my life is fuller and richer. Failures and disappointments seem more bearable, grief more acceptable. In spite of poverty and injustice, in spite of violence and wars, we humans are slowly making progress in the effort to understand the nature of life and the nature of the universe. And all of us share in this progress.